Welcome to the Mountain Grapevine program on WART Community Radio for Madison County, North Carolina. My name is Chuck Blethyn, your host for today's program. The Mountain Grapevine reports on all things grape and wine in the mountains of western North Carolina, and sometimes elsewhere. My programs will have interviews with movers and shakers in the viticulture and wine industries, as well as some educational sessions on wine etiquette, wine evaluation, and special value-added products that can be made from grapes.
Welcome to the Mountain Grapevine, everybody. On the telephone today, we have John Wright. John is the general manager and vineyard manager for Sanctuary Vineyards down in Jarvisburg, North Carolina. For those who know about the geography out that point of the country, that's out in Currituck County. Currituck County is right on the east coast, so the elevation of the Sanctuary Vineyard is about 20 feet, if I'm not mistaken. Had a little bit of technical difficulty with the first part of this recording, so I'm going to give you a summary before you get into the second half, which worked out just fine. John was explaining to us that around 2001, when he took over the family farm down there, that the farm had been in his family for seven generations, not growing anything look like grapes, of course. He tells us that the soil down there is a very iron-rich sandy loam or a clay loam soil, and it grows pretty well for some kinds of varietals, like Traminette, Chardonnay. And poor soil requires that he has to have irrigation there because he gets about 25 inches of rainfall at his location. Currently has about 25 acres irrigated. He also talks about having some experience with types of grapes that don't grow so well. Originally, when the grapes were put in the ground, they were interested in trying to grow grapes because it was the kind of wine they liked to drink. And as he says, it's best to start to pay attention to what works with your pocketbook, not what works with your personal tastes in wines. So towards that end, John had given us a whole bunch of information about his farm there. Anybody gets a chance to go out to the East Coast might want to check out the Wright family farm vineyard there called Sanctuary. He's got a whole bunch of acreage there called the Sanctuary, and people are welcome to take a look around and see what's going on there if you come down for a visit. Currently, he's growing Chardonnay and Traminette, as well as Syrah, some Viognier, Norton, and Muscadine. Also tells me that Tempranillo does pretty well down there too, with the hot, humid summers that they have. He also has a special type of activity he talks about all the time that goes on with steamed oysters down there called the Big Curry Shuck. Has that sometime in November every year in Jarvisburg. And it's really an all-you-can-eat sort of clam bake sort of thing where you can go out there and have oysters and crab, barbecue, and so forth. And it's a great fun time. Spent a little bit of time telling us about the history of his farm and telling us a little bit about some of the events that he has.
Well, folks, we've been on the phone this morning with John Wright, who's the general manager and vineyard manager out at Sanctuary Vineyards in Jarvisburg, North Carolina. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back. Today's program is being brought to you by Fatty Fresnel's Fantastic Fishing Lures and Fish Knocker. Most folks around Hot Springs have either met or heard about Fatty Fresnel. He's a local fishing hero in the mountains of western Madison County. He invented a secret recipe that he coats on his lures that fish cannot resist. Fatty has won every fishing contest in North Carolina in the past decade or so. Fatty recently underwent serious surgery for his shoulders after getting caught under a tree limb that fell on him while he was fishing on the banks of the French Broad River near his home in Hot Springs. The doctors told him he should give up fishing and his job working at the local UPS store because he can no longer lift boxes with his shoulders being seriously impaired from the accident. If you know Fatty, you know that giving up fishing did not go down well. Fatty decided to go commercial with his special homemade fishing lures to make up for lost income since he can't lift heavy boxes anymore. I recently caught up with Fatty on his back porch where he was whipping up a batch of his secret recipe to coat his fishing lures. He told me I had to promise not to tell anyone what I saw when I came to visit him while he was mixing his special concoction for his lures. Although I can't tell you all of the ingredients, I did see devil's fingers mushrooms, possum innards, and bear grease. Fatty proudly showed me his handmade lures. He has several sizes to accommodate any kind of fish you may go after. Tiny ones for trout, medium ones for bass, and larger multi-hook ones for larger lunkers like muskies. The key, of course, is the special coating of his secret recipe that makes them all work. Fatty carefully coats the lures with a vine boar hog brush dipped in his secret recipe. He dries them on a line strung between two back porch roof supports. Once dried, he carefully hand packs them in small elderberry wooden boxes suitable for the size. Fatty also showed me one of his fishing accessories that he sells with his lures. He calls it a fish knocker. He says it's a must-have accessory if you use his fishing lures. It looks like a baseball bat that's been cut in half. I asked Fatty to explain how his fish knocker is used. He said there's two different situations where it's used. One is when you are fishing in a boat. He claims that the fishing lures are so powerful in attracting fish, you have to use the fish knocker to keep the fish from jumping into the boat while you're trying to tie his special lures on your fishing line. The second case is when you're fishing from shore. The same thing happens. The fish are trying to get at the lure and will jump out of the water to try to get at his lures. Fatty suggests that hiding behind a tree while you're tying the lures to your fishing line usually works, so you don't need a fish knocker. Make sure the tree you hide behind is a live, strong tree. Last year, his neighbor, Cletus Cantrell, made the mistake of ducking behind an old outhouse near the edge of the lake while he was tying on his lure. A 40-pound carp came up out of the water and slammed into the side of the outhouse with such force that it turned over the outhouse and fell on Cletus. Broke his shoulder and gave him a concussion. Fatty had to add a disclaimer to his packaging about taking better care when using his lures. Fatty has packaged one each size of his lures with a fish knocker. You can now buy Fatty Fresnel's Fantastic Fishing Lures and a Fish Knocker for $1.298 at Zuma's Cafe in downtown Marshall. Fatty Fresnel's Fantastic Fishing Lures and Fish Knocker is another product made in the USA here in Madison County, North Carolina. And now back to our regular program.
Welcome back, everybody. We've been on the telephone today with John Wright, General Manager and Vineyard Manager of the Sanctuary Vineyards out in Jarvisburg, North Carolina. John, just before the break, we were talking about some of the specific grapes that you're growing there, and I'd like to go back and talk a little bit about the wines.
Well, the method for our wine production is dependent on the grapes when they're coming in, and there is a house style of winemaking here that's been set. Our winemaker, Casey Matthews, he really likes to be as minimal with the handling of the grapes as possible when they come in. So we hand harvest to lugs instead of large bins. So we bring them in individual 30-pound boxes, and then we put them in refrigerated trailers to cool them down to bring the field heat out. And then if they're reds, they're going to be destemmed only, not crushed, and then they're destemmed onto a sorting table, a vibrating sorting table, and in doing so, we're able to cull out some of the small jacks and bits of stems, underripe berries, and then those whole berries go into plastic containers, which are then dumped into tanks to ferment, or dumped into macro bins, plastic food-grade bins to ferment. There's no crushing, no pumping, and it keeps the integrity of the red grapes together, and I think it doesn't release any harsh tannins, whether they're seed tannins or skin tannins, preemptively. They all integrate on their own time. So that's how the reds are done, and then as for whites, pretty much everything is going to be whole cluster pressed. So we take those same boxes of fresh picked grapes and we put them directly into the press. We're not destemming or crushing those grapes, and it's just because we want the wines to be a little bit more soft when they come into the fermentation. We're not looking to release any harsh seed tannins from those whites either, and that's kind of a Burgundian thing. You know, there's a lot more lee stirring and oak aging in Burgundy now. We avoid that. We're not barrel aging hardly any of the white wines. They're almost all in steel, and that lends itself to more crisp and like racy, higher acid white wines, which we're trying to preserve acidity to help with the seafood and pairings that tend to come with the wines when they're served here at the Outer Banks.
Well, what you've just told me is sort of interesting. I've seen very, very few wineries actually take the time to table sort the grapes before they go into the fermentation tanks. That's interesting. Where'd you pick that idea up?
Well, we bought our first sorting table like 10 years ago, and it's a belt sorting table. So it's a food-grade plastic belt that just rolls endlessly, you know, over and over, and will give you about 10 feet linear feet where you can put people on either side and they can sort the clusters when they come in. And that's what we were doing at first, but then we found that we still weren't getting a look at the berries individually when we de-stemmed. And so about 4 years ago, we purchased a vibrating sorting table. So any brand will work. We have a Booker. And it just has two motors on it and a chassis like with these rubber mounts, and it will just vibrate. I don't know how many oscillations per second, but you don't see it shaking. All you see is these little berries dancing across the table, and there's two grates to catch juice that comes out, and the only thing that comes out the end is really just solid berries, and they're in great shape. And once I'd seen them in use at other wineries and at trade shows, it's just the kind of thing you need to have. And there's quite a few wineries in North Carolina now using them, and I think that they're just looking to cull out what could possibly bring the quality down. You can make good wines without a sorting table. You don't have to have one. It's just for what it costs. It's a high cost up front, but it really pays dividends later.
Well, clearly you've got the quality issue under control there in terms of the quality of the wines that you're producing just based upon the medals that you've been winning at the competition. Talk to me just a bit about the blending process. How does that work?
So for our wines, we don't do a lot of single varietal wines, and that's just the decision that we made I'd say at least 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when we were realizing that we were having a hard time selling certain wines by their varietal. So Viognier was just not selling all that quickly. It was of decent quality. It was a nice wine, but we found a lot of our guests were from Virginia, and they were exposed to just countless Viogniers up there. Same with folks in Pennsylvania and New York. They'd seen a lot of Cabernet Franc up there and Merlot, and they just, when they came through, they, I believe, had been saturated with those varietal wines. So we started right out of the gate going with blends, and we wanted to have red blends that were tiered such that you'd have one for everyday consumption, what we call our red table wine, less than $15 retail, so it was affordable. And then we wanted to have step that up to a more high-intensity, more oak-driven, structured red wine called Coastal Collage. And when we bring the fruit in, we start by looking at and tasting to see what's got the more color intensity, might have a little bit lower pH and better ageability. And then we'll start putting those in newer French oak. And then the stuff that's got a little higher pH, it's a little more fruity, but maybe shorter-term drinking, will go into more neutral oak. And we start to separate the lots out. Morton is our everyday red blend. It's typically Merlot driven, softer red fruits, plums, things like that. And then the Collage is stepping that up with a little bit more structured Cabernet Sauvignon based flavors like the blackberry and cassis. And that's where those varieties start to shake out early on in the process. And we'll barrel them down and give them, the Morton might only get 8 months of barrel aging, whereas the Coastal Collage is going to get 18 to 24.
Well, for the radio listeners who are really seriously interested in wines, you really should try the Coastal Collage. This last competition we had here in Nashville, we had a bottle of that won a gold medal. And according to the notes that we had, it was 30% Cabernet Sauvignon, 22% Malbec, 22% Merlot, 17% Cabernet Franc, 9% Petit Verdot. Wow, that was a great wine.
Yeah, it's a lot going on in the collage, and then the other red wine, which we've seen a lot of interest in recently, is our double barrel. And so the double barrel concept is just we take the two varietals, the two barrel lots that we like best out of the whole winery. It doesn't matter what variety they are. So it's variable what could be in the double barrel, but this year, or this release is from 2015, and it's just Petit Verdot and Tannat, 50-50. So just picking the best two barrels in the house. Not a lot of production, so it's low production, but very high quality. We're looking for between 50 and 100% new oak on that, and it's not a subtle wine. It's not soft or approachable. It tends to have longer aging capability, so it's built for the long haul. Both those grapes, the not deeper to are, and it's a pretty powerful wine. And for some folks, it's a little bit too much tannin. The alcohol is a little elevated, but for folks that are looking for a big sort of West Coast California experience, it gives them that feeling.
It's quite a treat to try it. It's 50% Petit Verdot and 50% Tannat, as you just said. And that one won, at least 2015 vintage, won a silver medal at the National Wine and Food Festival this year. So if you get a chance to try that one, folks, drop that one in your glass. You'll love it.
Yeah, it's interesting with the competitions. We also released this year an orange Viognier, which is a Viognier fermented entirely on its skins. So it is a style of wine that is popular in northern Italy, in some parts of France. It's just very unusual, and we found that a lot of folks were interested in it that, you know, are from urban markets, more like Asheville, D.C., Charlottesville, New York. They really like these wines. They're unique, but they are adventurous and looking for something a little different. And we had one competition where we entered all of our wines, and they all got medals, except for the orange Viognier, and I thought to myself, I wonder if this is getting lost in the judging process, because there is no orange wine category, at least not in the East Coast competitions. But hopefully that's a style of wine that we'll get more attention going forward.
Well, all I have to do is try it. I'm sure they'll love it.
Yeah, I'll send you a bottle. You'll have to give it a shot if you haven't had it already.
I haven't, and I'd love to try that. What is the capacity in terms of cases a year that your vineyard is producing out there, John?
Well, it varies for us because we have all of our vinifera plantings here, but we have to buy our muscadines. We do make a few muscadine wines, but we don't grow them out there on the market looking at farmers on the coastal plain to purchase. Some years we've got a great muscadine crop, so if we have everything producing, all vinifera, all muscadine, we can produce 8,000 cases, even 10,000 cases. But sometimes we get a hurricane vintage, like 2016, heavily affected by hurricanes east of Raleigh. And so we were really hit hard, only made about 5,000 cases. It's so variable what we have to do in terms of sourcing those other native grapes, and we even buy from the mountains too as a hedge in case we have a really terrible storm.
Well, you're clearly in the boutique winery area, and my experience from traveling around the world for 50 years is that's where the best wines are made, coming out of these boutique wineries, so that's fabulous. Well, listen, John, I've got everybody's taste buds up now for trying some of your wonderful wines. Tell folks how they can find you. Where can we buy your wines? How do we reach you? How do we come visit you?
So the best way to try our wines and get the best representation is to visit us in person at our winery in Currituck County. It is a long way from western North Carolina. I've driven it. It can be 8 hours plus. So if you are looking for our wines, you can get them online, or you can call us at the winery, and we do ship throughout the state of North Carolina. We are in some select wine shops in Asheville. We are represented by Freedom Beverage Distribution, so if you want to see our wines at your local shop in western North Carolina, just ask your shop owner, and they can be procured. We also have our wine club called The Bunch.
I'm sorry, called what?
It's called The Bunch.
The Bunch, like, okay.
The Great Bunch.
Yep.
It's 2 6-bottle shipments sent per year. No fee to join. It includes perks like discounts and free VIP tastings at the winery. So there's multiple ways to get a hold of the wine, but I got to tell you, if you can come out to the beach and make a visit, we'll make it worth your while.
Fantastic. You have an online presence with Facebook, Twitter, that sort of thing?
Yeah, we're at sanctuaryvineyards.com, and then we're also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram under the handle of Sanctuary Vineyards or Sanctuary Vine.
You have facilities for weddings or special events?
Yes. We've got, we do 15 to 20 weddings per year here, and you can visit our wedding website, which is beachvineyardwedding.com. And we also have big events all throughout the year. Our next one is this Saturday, called the Big Curry Chuck. All-you-can-eat oysters and barbecue. And we'll have local breweries on site, and it is a big, big party.
I saw that online when I was looking at your website before the radio show and doing my prep, and I'm thinking, that should be so good.
It's, yeah, all-you-can-eat. It's loud country music. It's definitely something that you have to see to believe. We put on the party. We love for the locals to have something that they can come out and see in the off season. For the summer, everyone's so busy in this tourism based economy that by the time we get to Thanksgiving, Saturday after Thanksgiving, they really want to unwind, and we give them the venue for it.
Fantastic. Well, John, we seriously appreciate your being on the radio with us today. We've learned a lot about you and your vineyard there, and certainly the wonderful wines. Having tasted a number of them, I can tell everybody without hesitation that you'll be tasting some of the best wines in the state if you try the wines from out Sanctuary Vineyards. So do not pass up a chance to give it a shot. And again, John, thank you so much for joining us on the radio show today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, folks, that's it for today's program. We've been talking with John Wright, who's the general manager and vineyard manager out at Sanctuary Vineyards in Jarvisburg, North Carolina, right on the east coast of North Carolina. We'll call that a wrap for today's program.
This is the Mountain Grapevine on WART Community Radio from Madison County, North Carolina. If you have a friend whom you think might enjoy my program, tell them my Thursday programs will be rebroadcast on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Chuck Blethyn signing off for today. Cheers!